Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Sandy Rogers, and it is my honor and pleasure to be your hostess for this next 90 minutes. And Tuesdays is like a Christmas day to me every week. And so I get excited. And the reason why I do is I am always blessed to share with you some incredible, incredible, outstanding experts in their fields. And tonight is no different, and it is truly a treat to be able to bring these extraordinary guests to you every week. And so I get excited, man. I get excited because I want to know, just like you guys want to know, exactly what they've come to share with us. So just stay tuned, but we do a couple of things first before we get involved or get deeper into the show. And the very first thing that we do is give thanks to the ancestors, to all of our ancestors for being with us always, but especially on Tuesdays as we discuss issues that perhaps are not ordinarily talked about in an open setting. You know, sometimes people are whispering in a corner or behind a closed door or, you know, not wanting to be heard what's really, truly, truly deep in their heart. So we know that we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors for strength and courage, integrity, and we trust that they got us, man. They got our backs, our fronts, our tops, and our bottoms. So before we close out with this tribute to the ancestors, we do have two new ancestors I'm aware of. One happened last week. But I didn't know about it until after the show. His name is Wes. He lives in California. Actually, the other young lady is a childhood friend of mine. Her name is S.E.B. Hayes Farrell, also on the West Coast in California. And so those two join the ranks of ancestors, and we pray for their safe passage into the next realm of existence. So ancestors, each and every one of you, we love you, we love you, we love you now, and we love you forever. Ashe, ashe, asheo. And next we anchor ourselves in affirmative, positive energy. And these are daily inspirational messages that I've authored and have written. You can find them at revsandy.wordpress.com. And if you would like, you can have them delivered daily to your email address. And that all you would have to do would be to go to that site, revsandy.wordpress.com. So today's message is called Fed Up. Are you at a point where you feel fed up? Tired of the way things are showing up for you in your life? Sick and tired of being sick and tired? So release and relinquish is the answer. giving thanks is the solution. So release your need to be right. Relinquish your feelings of neediness. Release those emotions of sadness and unworthiness. Release each little fragment of loneliness and despair. Release, release, release. Be thankful for everything and everybody that is now present in your existence. Give thanks for each have shown up to bless you. It may not feel like a blessing, but just go right ahead and be grateful anyway. For all of us right now, bless those extra pounds that have found their way to your body. Bless the bills that come in the mail, and bless the creditors that extended you credit in the first place. Give thanks to your source or whatever name you use to describe the Creator, God, for everything big and small. Thank Allah for grace and mercy. Thank Jehovah for life. Thank Buddha. Thank the Most High. Thank the Ascended Masters. Thank your ancestors. Just give thanks. So we stand in that place. We stand in that place. So it's all about life. It's all about love. And it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is I Am Enough Elite Social Club, featuring the creator of it, Wanda D. Hollis. And so, you know, she's been a guest with us before, and she's got some good information to share with us tonight. So, but before we bring her on, audience, you know, you're invited to join in the discussion with us tonight if you would like. Our call-in number is 516-531-9819, and you would just push 1 to alert me you want to speak live on air. The only thing that I ask is if your line has been open and you're not speaking, if you would put your phone on mute to protect the quality of the playback. A lot of our listeners don't stay up quite this late, and they come back the next day, or perhaps they want to listen to the show over and over. And so we would like to make sure that we ensure the highest quality possible on the calls, on the shows. So if you would like to listen to any or all of the shows on our rebroadcast, you can do that. Just simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. That's SandyRogers. And so, you know, this is going to be such a great, great show this evening. I'm going to start us, though, with a little music, old school, and we'll be right back. And we appreciate you for listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. All righty, here's our music break, and we'll be right back.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a handout, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. My mama told me, you better shop around.
Yeah.
y'all know that's Smokey Robinson with the Miracles, man. And I played that because of our theme tonight. You know, I Am Enough Elite Social Club. And we have the creator of that program or that new endeavor, Wanda D. Hollis. However, I'm not able to connect with Wanda D. right now, so we're going to just go right ahead and do what we do on the show, and we're going to talk about something. We're going to have us a good time. And so welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And I'm going to see what we got, you know, because there's so much that's going on right now. There's a lack of topics that we can talk about. We were going to talk about, you know, taking this dating situation to the next level. However, that's not my program. That's Wanda D's program. So when she's available, if she joins us, we'll jump into that discussion. So I want to check with you guys and see what's happening with you. How are you holding up with, you know, the storms, these floods, and how everything is unfolding? You know, how have you been impacted? None at all, slightly, perhaps maybe to a large degree. My family, for me, is in Louisiana. I've got in different parts, too, from New Orleans and Baton Rouge and Alexandria, which is central Louisiana. And then going on up, I've got family members in Jackson, Mississippi. And I don't know if it hit other places. I've got family in Ohio, but I really didn't think about them until just now. And I don't have any family. I do have some friends up in New York. And so I was able to check on everyone last week, you know, to see how they were doing and things like that. But I tell you, man, we don't know, you know, like until we get in that, is that is what's contributing to some of the issues or a lot of the issues that people are having right now in their personal lives. Are they just totally dissatisfied or feeling fed up, you know, like I was saying earlier? I wonder exactly what it is that's creating the deaths of young people. That's what I call them. The two new ancestors that I spoke of earlier, 71 and under. SEB was one of my classmates in school, and Wes, I believe, is a little bit younger. But, you know, so we have, to me, that's young, you know. I expect to live my plan, my intention, what I would want to do. I'll say it like that. I want to live to be 100. My dad is 100. He's working on 101 right now. So, you know, just how do we, how can we, you know, or do we have the right to evoke a change in how we live and the length of time that we live, you know. So just some questions. Anybody want to join me in discussion, you feel free at 516-31-9819. Push 1 to let me know you want to jump in with this discussion. But, you know, I've had so many people recently that are being impacted in ways that they weren't necessarily prepared. And because they were not prepared, well, I'm not going to say they weren't prepared. They hadn't considered that they would need to make a change in their lifestyle. You know, how they dealt with situations with being COVID positive, you know, what exactly that looks like. And how the simple fact of talking on a telephone is robbing you of energy and oxygen that you probably need to reserve, you know, for your healing process. And so, you know, it may have been received that I was being negative, but, you know, we really have to help each other in this life that we're living right now, because this, you know, a lot of this, although life is change, every day is changed, right? I mean, nothing is the same from moment to moment. But in this extreme case, that's what I'm going to call it, in this extreme situation where we're less in control than what we've ever been, that we need to help each other. You know, we really need to help each other and put each other's feet to the fire. You know, like, no, I ain't going to talk to you. Bye. You know, and get people to thinking a little bit more about the small things that we can do, you know, like, well, how much water are you drinking? Are you drinking more water? What, you know, what kind of water are you drinking? Because, you know, the rule of thumb is that alkaline water. And there, I'm sure, are some labels that are not as good as other alkaline water can help your body to reduce its acidity. Acidity in the body, acid in the body, makes the body more prone to catching, I guess that's the right phrase to use, to catching different viruses and bacteria, so that can create the different diseases that are out. And so if you can, if we can keep our bodies at an alkaline state, that helps to fade off and protect our immune system and to protect us from being accessible to, you know, a lot of this stuff that's going on. So we've got cucumbers that are extremely alkalizing, that you can put in your water or eat, or, you know, like however you choose to do that. But do your research on the different foods that help you naturally to, you know, increase your defenses against those foreign objects that could come into your body, the foreigners that can come and invade your body with their unwelcome viruses and bacteria and things like that. And rest is another very, very important part of that. I know for me, I couldn't sleep last night, man, and I was like, what the heck is going on? But I have been real hyper, you know, about getting some things done. I'm working in a new project, a personal commitment that I made to some folks that have known me for a long time and challenged me to taking care of a couple of things. And so I'm really excited because I am meeting the deadlines that I had set for myself in order to complete those commitments. And so it could be that, you know, but I couldn't sleep last night, and I know that that is not very helpful with me, especially with the type of schedule that I keep, you know, the multitasking and the multiple tasks, I'll say like that, because I really, my intention is to do one thing at a time and stay focused on that until I complete it. Yep, I used to do that, but they said that that's not really good for your brain health, to be divided in doing multiple things at the same time. I didn't know that. So I've been practicing that for the last couple of years, and it seemed really to work for me anyway. But there's a product on the market called Calm, C-A-L-M, and it is a powdered type of beverage. You know, you mix it in water, and you drink it. And so that helps to calm you down and to relax you and relax your muscles and things like that. So I took that right before the show started because I want to be able to sleep tonight because I understand that, you know, when you don't get your proper rest, you can be subjected to, you know, your body being less, not as strong and being able to fend off and to fight off the various things that are going on out in the world today. You know, ginger is another one. Now, ginger is more to protect you from getting the viruses, too. Not so much like I was talking about the alkaline body. That's an overall situation that is for you to keep in check. And so when you do that, that's really your best defense. But then ginger, and I've been doing ginger probably 5 or 6 years now, and I know that making fresh ginger, not the tea bags, but fresh ginger, and the simple recipe of 2 inches of ginger and 4 cups of water and boil it covered for 20 minutes. And as long as I could do that and drink a cup, at least just 1 cup every day, I have not had flu or cold in 5 years. And that's from using that ginger, drinking that ginger tea all the time. I actually need to get back to doing that too. And so those are some of the home remedies that I like to utilize in order to, you know, to boost my body up and my immunity so that I'm not so subjected to, you know, being able to catch the different things that are out here. They've been out here all the time. You know, it's nothing new. May have a different name to it, but, you know, we've had the different diseases. We've had the flus. And we've got a caller, and I'm open the line up. Okay, 817-308. You want to give us your name and jump on in and join the conversation. It's your line. I can hear you now, yes.
If you don't know any better, you can't do any better. And there's a facility called HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. All those letters have periods because each letter stands for a word, HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. And I remember reading somewhere, it said, when you see these things, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, know that this is just the beginning of sorrows. So none of this that we're going through is just by chance. It's all planned. It's all by design. All by design. And it says, when you see these things, know that this is just the beginning of sorrows and troubles. Hmm. And that's what we're going through in our world right now, sorrows and troubles. And I don't like to take people places that they're not able to go themselves, because if you can't go there yourself, then it's no sense in me even bothering with this conversation. But like I said, if you know better, you can do better. And HAARP is going to be the leader that's going to take you to all of this, where all of this COVID stuff is coming from, what's behind it, and what's going on with it. And on that note, I'm going to say good night.
So, well, hold on, though. Let me ask you a couple of questions with that. On that HAARP, if we look that up, that'll be an organization or a site that will give us explanation as to what's going on?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
Okay. It will not only give you an explanation. It won't only give you an explanation as to what's going on, but how it's happening.
Hmm.
Exactly. How it's all going on. So my point is, none of this is just by chance. It's all by design. All by design. Even this corona stuff, it's all by design. And
you want to go into a little bit deeper on that? I know
well,
you got a lot to share.
I do, but I want you to the individual to first find out for themselves.
Oh, okay.
That makes a big difference. That makes a big difference when you find out for yourself instead of somebody just trying to lead you on and trying to tell you something. That's why you didn't mind your parents.
That's true, right.
Because they were trying to tell you something, and they knew they were right, but you didn't think they were right. But when you found out for yourself, that changes the whole picture. And H-A-A-R-P will give you not only, how do I want to say this? It won't only give you a beginning to understand why all this stuff is going on, the way it's happening, the way this world is, but it'll give you the reason to how it's all happening. It'll give you the answers to all how it's all happening. And like I said, on that note, I'm going to say good night.
Well, hold on. Because I appreciate what you're saying. And you brought up a very valid point, because my friend that was having all of the issues, I didn't argue with her. You know, I just said what I had to say, and I was like, okay, that's all I got, you know. And but they finally came back and said, you know, you're absolutely right. You were right all along. Because I'm at a point where I've got to stop, you know, all the phone calls and, you know, all the talking and trying to do all of this and take care of my health. And so attitude that you have about letting people find out for themselves, that's the only way we truly learn. You know, I believe what they say, a bought lesson is the best lesson. So and that's what that is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if you know better, you can do better. You do better.
That's true.
And that's
true.
That's where we are as a people.
Yeah.
You got to know better. Because,
you know, they say that this stuff has been in the makings for a long time. It didn't just happen 2 or 3 years ago, you know, but we're talking about 20, 30 years. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
And
even longer than that, even longer than that, because now what I'm fixing to say, I know this is going to throw a whole bunch of you off track. But that Bible, that thing we call the Bible, when we came over, when they brought us over here, as slaves, put us on those slave ships and brought us over here, that's the first thing they got us to do, is to study religion. That's the first thing they did to us. Sent us to church every Sunday and got us to study religion. And if you read that thing the way I have, that Bible, the way I have had to read it when I went to seminary, I had to read it from Genesis to Revelation at least twice. At least twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out some stuff in there that I just never thought I'd come across. But when you know better, you can do better. And H-A-A-R-P is going to take you a long way. And that's not a word, H-A-A-R-P. Those are the initials for a military installation. H-A-A-R-P.
Oh, military. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm excited for you to have shared that, and I'm going to definitely look it up. Because, you know, that's one thing I have been open-minded, because, you know, if you keep your mind closed, you're not going to learn anything, you know, and I say anybody that thinks they know everything, they can't learn anything, you know, and it's a fool, because nobody knows all the answers to everything. And so, you know, that's how I keep learning or growing, you know, in my whole attitude and how I interact and the knowledge that I'm able to share with people, is because it came from somebody sharing something with me, and I was open enough to, you know, to look at it. So I'm going to definitely check out HAARP
exactly.
to see what that's about.
And like I said, when you know better, you do better. And that's what we are as a people. Never forget, out of the darkness came the light.
True.
That's a fundamental truth in our world. Out of the darkness came the light. And like I said, on that note, I'm going to say good night.
You're just trying to run away.
I want people to start digging. When you start digging, you never know what you're going to find. What you're going to come up with.
Yep.
And that HAARP, HAARP, when you figure out what's going on with that, it's going to take you back a whole long way,
So now you got me curious, so we're going to have to do that. Yes,
Sorry about that.
No. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm always up to learning something new, you know, and there's so many truths that are coming out that's dispelling some of the falsehoods that's been drilled into us and shoved into our heads and our thoughts and everything that we're doing. It's amazing when you start looking. Yeah, man, I tell you. The only thing is that's going to be a very lonely place, though, because the masses of people are believing the lies and the falsehoods, you know. And so when you try to talk about, well, check out the HAARP and, you know, it may be contrary to what you believe. You didn't say that, but I'm saying it. You know, it may be contrary to what your thoughts are. Just go check it out, you know, and, then you're not well received because what you're saying is going against what the masses are believing, and sometimes the masses don't understand those are not even their thoughts, you know. It's because
And pretty much everything we have in life right about now is lies and alibis. Pretty much everything that we believe, it's lies and alibis. And like I said, on that note, I'm going to say, don't forget, HAARP, HAARP.
All right.
There's a lot to that that we need to understand.
Okay. You know, I want to go on it now, but I don't want to get off to doing the show. I'm already having to make up for the guests not appearing tonight, but thank you. So I'm going to do that.
Yes, ma'am.
And hopefully at a future show, we can come back and kind of have a conversation around that. I think that would be really good. So I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night, sir. So, again, our featured guest tonight has not appeared, and so we're just having a roundtable discussion. Any and everybody is welcome to join in the discussion tonight. We don't have a set topic. We just going at it, doing what we do. And I will probably play a couple of more musical selections than what I normally do. But the call-in number here, again, is 516-531-9819. And if you would just push 1 on your dial and let us know you want to speak live on air, it's open mic. So whatever you want to talk about, you know, share with us, feel free. So we got another caller, 940-535. You want to give us your name?
Hey, I'm Eve. How you all doing?
Woo! Hey, Eve, sis, what's happening? That's my birthday twin, y'all.
Oh, everything good. Now, I just came in about 3 minutes,
okay.
I'm out of town, and there's a lot going on, like the brothers say, all over the place. And so I just came in. But what I came in to say was what I love. I didn't hear it all, But the like the 2 minutes I might have heard because I got people around, but now I'm out the way so I can hear and
okay.
comprehend. But, you know, what I got to say about it is that I love what happened to us before we were, even before chattel slavery. So what I love is what my mind do. To me, it goes all the way back before then. So to me, from where we came from, this is my thought, and I respect everybody. It comes to me where I came from, and I'm going to talk about my family line, is that we were the people that had everything we need and did everything we did, and we weren't scared, and we prayed, and we loved one another. And I'm talking about the prayer before the prayer of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer that, brother, and I'm going to have to go listen to that because I missed it, you all. I'm just getting online. But this is what I feel from it. And this is the way I feel anyway, respect to every religion. Because, see, I respect mine for way back before we
mm-hmm.
left slavery until today. So with that said, I think that it wasn't like it is now. That's what, and I think that's what, and without a doubt, I know that's what I'm getting from the brother. And to put it out there, again, respect all religions and respect all people. But if you start looking, it's not no but. When you start looking and start thinking about yourself and your life and how we got here from there, look at that strength, and we're here. And we're still here, like all people that have been through some of the things that we've been through. And we've been through, high rank of disturbance and to make it here. So now we're here, and now we're moving. And now I'm feeling very good and very powerful and very strong. Watch this, with the whole world, no matter what, and whatever the world is going through. And this is what I got to say. This is the statement right here. You know what? All of us be strong and of a good courage, and I know we had heard this before, but that means seek out who we are, and that means where we all come from. And all power to all the people. But remember, we had it what you call pretty deep, and a lot of taken from us, and a lot of background, and a lot of misled. So again, it is about me and where I came from. And what I got to find out more and more and more about. A lot of love, everybody. I want to throw that in there with your brother and the whole crowd. I appreciate all of us all the time. Hey, Sandy. Hey, the best of the best of the best, because you be bringing
it. I appreciate your comments, you know, and that's what will give us the strength and encourage each person is when we give that respect. Then we help to boost the person, you know, like, and that's part of what, I don't know if you heard, but I have a friend that's really, really sick, and they didn't want to slow down. You know, they want to keep doing everything that they were doing. And my advice was, you know, put the phone down, drink you a lot of water, and go get you some rest in addition to, you know, whatever else. And they thought that they could keep going, and they have this, you know, they did not improve. Their situation is about the same, if not worse, a week or so after the start of it. And so that was what both myself and the gentleman that was speaking earlier was saying, you know, is that people have got to learn their lessons for themselves. And I think when you do that is you're showing respect to the other person, you know, because we don't want to see anybody, you know, it's like raising children. We don't want to see them fall and hurt themselves, but sometimes they got to in order to get the lesson that they're to get out of this lifetime. So you're absolutely right.
I didn't hear that. Wow. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Look at her. But now,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Now, with that said, look how heavyweight everything is when it comes to survival, caring, love, and family and world. Now look how deep that is, and I didn't hear all that. But I came in on just what I heard. And let me tell you, what you just told me, what he just told me, what me just told me, this is what I got to say. You all, this is the time. I agree. This is the time. I agree for all of us to check out the real us. And our line that we came through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we all do it differently, okay? We don't have to take that same path to check out our line. It's all different kind of paths. But don't forget, we're here. We made it. Wow. All of us.
Yeah.
So with that said, the truth, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The truth.
Yeah.
Hey, you know how our parents told us the truth is in the pudding? Hey, the truth is in all the pudding. It's in all the pudding. And that's, hey, a lot of love. Now I want to keep on resting my ear on all of y'all. I'm loving it. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you are so welcome. And feel free to chime in again. But we've got another caller. I'm going to bring them in. And let's see what we got going here. I appreciate you, E, for your comments and your wisdom that you're sharing with us and your thoughts. And like I said, for some reason, our guests did not show up tonight, and so I just opened up. You know, I made a lot of statements to kind of get a lot of stuff riled up in the beginning, and so just asking for, you know, what people, where they are. You know, I know you were caught up in that that weather in southern Louisiana. Yeah.
I was. Hey, you all, it's really time. And I'm going to let them in. It's really time to, the strength is it. The strength is our survival. The goodness and everything that we're made of, we can do it. A lot of love. Bring on that guest.
All right. Thank you, darling. All right. Caller 334-419. You want to give us your name and tell us what's on your mind.
Good evening. My name is Michael Hameen. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. And
hey,
what's
Michael.
On my mind is, thank you. What's on my mind is finding you through one of your future guests, Benjamin Bilal. And I'm happy. I like what I'm hearing. And my contribution, I'd just like to share that African-American people, we've been through a clinical experiment and experience that has caused dysfunction in the vital areas of our life. Yeah. And that dysfunction is clear in terms of what I've been hearing thus far on the air. There is classical scripture that speaks to the time, like the gentleman who at the seminary he mentioned earlier. Classical scripture speaks to the kind of time that we're living in, where there's somewhat of a self-elimination by making bad choices, but there's also an environment of illumination that I'm hearing from various sources. I was listening to Kevin Samuels, what do you call it? He's a talk show host dealing with relationship issues, and I'm hearing things that you know, we know, many of us know, but you know, it's hard to speak to in the oppressive language environment that we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those like yourself that are providing the airwaves to where the few who are willing to push back against this language environment by introducing language that is designed to help us become illuminated, to become, you know, become enlightened, to be able to see, and for many of us get our common sense back. You know, the world is not a world of our making. This world is a world of created created energy, created matter, and it's going, you know, since its creation, it's going in a particular direction, you know, mm-hmm. and it's going in the direction that the Creator designed it to go. An example, who would have thought that our ancestors being brought over here from Africa to be slaves and to be emptied out of our history, language, culture, and so forth, and to have put in us language and interests that are not our own, you know, supporting the interests of those who brought us over here. And mm-hmm. and actually through that process, finding ourselves to be a new people, like there's no other people before this experiment, before these circumstances, there never was a people like the Negro, the black man and woman, the African Americans. There never was a people like us before this environmental experiment. So I'm looking at how I've been mentored by a gentleman who's passed now, the son of Elijah Muhammad, W.D. Muhammad, and he talked about how there never was a time when the Creator's hands were not on not only his creation, you know, the created matter, but on the hands of the movement of human beings. Mm-hmm. So you have a new people starting to come alive and wake up during a critical time in the history of the world. I mean, there's never been a time like this, you know, pandemics and all kinds of strange things happening, but new knowledge. And there is a hope that I see being carried in African-American people that shows that we have an assignment to do, you know. And it, you know, it may not be the many, because in history it's never the many that provide right. progress for humanity. It's always the few. So mm-hmm. you see in a lot of different areas, I'm listening to how Mike Tyson is talking now, you know, and, you know, I'm not in agreement with all of his behavior. There's a young man, Kwame Brown, a former basketball player, a first-round draft pick out of high school, exposing the get-along gang and how African-Americans with a selfish bent are being critical of not only him but others and putting language out into the airways through podcasts that are really harmful to our young men and women coming up, you know talking street life talk and violence and you know, unmanly kind of conversations dealing with talking about this person and deriding and pulling down the other. And, you know, but in spite of that, truth is coming through to expose the fact that, you know, you hear this similar language that puts them all in the kind of same pot in terms of selfishly using their platforms to invite naive and unaware youth to language that is self-destructive. So I appreciate your platform. And not only is classical scripture helping us in this time, but also there's a creation-supported social logic that's taking place. If we look at the patterns of how this creation is put together, it will speak to us and talk to our common sense and our logic, you know, because of the patterns. The patterns repeat themselves, and these patterns go against this social, what do you call them, social manipulators who they're using sex, you know, and changing the language of sex and gender, you know, and all kinds of schemes to invite us to self-elimination, so to speak.
Right.
So I appreciate your forum being open for conversations like this, and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Michael, and I appreciate the comments that you brought up. I like that whole idea around the experiment of a race of people being moved from their native place of habitation, and how that was so systematically done, you know, where my understanding is, you know, if you were in the same tribe or group of people, it's not necessarily tribe, I think that may conjure up a whole different mindset, but, you know, people from the same village were not allowed to be together on those ships because the ones that were controlling the slave trade didn't want people to be able to communicate with themselves. And so when we really stop and we look at it, you know, like, so we were stripped of every tool that we had that we could use to maintain what we honored in Africa, the community. We didn't write it in a book. You know, the elders had the history, and they taught the younger people the history, and they passed it down. And it wasn't until we get into this other mindset that everything has to be written down. But you're, like you were saying, you know, they didn't want us to be educated, to be able to read it, you know, to understand what was going on and what was being said. And so it's not so much that black folks don't like to read, because we do. But, you know, when we say that, we make that become a reality. And that's one of the biggest lies ever, you know.
But we've got to learn to look at the trauma.
Yeah.
You have to look at the trauma around reading. You know, you could be killed if you were teaching someone to read as a black man or woman. You know, the environmental influences of fear and suffering and savagery that was placed on us. And, you know, you have black people now saying, well, why can't we do such and such? Well, just really analyze the past. Ida B. Wells. Ida B. Wells wrote about the lynchings, and she stated in this book, Southern Horrors, she stated that the lynchings and the violence against black folks was to keep us in our place, to keep black men, black women, black children in a particular place. This lady, Wilkerson, wrote about the caste system. Well, the caste system, it was supported by violence to keep us like the children of Israel, the Hebrew boys and girls. Bible and Quran speaks about a class system being set up, with the Hebrew boys and girls being on the bottom, the men being killed at will, and the women being saved. Well, that's the caste system kind of construct, you know?
Right. Right. So, yeah, I appreciate you, the things that you bring into the conversation, because these are serious conversations, and that's why, you know, I'm not sure if you were on from the very beginning, but the reason why this show exists is to have these conversations out loud so that, you know, we're not whispering, because when you say it out loud, you give it power, you give it strength, and that's what we need to do with the truth of who we are. You know, it's nothing to be afraid of or shy or shameful or any of that. You know, things happen that was beyond our control, sure enough. But look at where we are with all of that that's happened. you know, all of that, everything being stripped away, being forced to be subhuman or treated subhuman, and still, like Maya say, and still we rise. You know,
it's just,
we don't give enough credit to our power. We are some strong people.
But there are people that may not give credit. But there's something stirring. There's a German word called Zeitgeist, the spirit of the time.
Say it again. What's the word?
Spirit. It's called Zeitgeist. Zeitgeist. I think, but it means the spirit of the times. And
okay.
We see a spirit moving amongst us and the people of the world. You know, truth is being uncovered. People are coming to a consciousness that says that look, this world has not served us. There's a language environment that's oppressing the souls of everybody. You know, this Joy DeGruy, Dr. Joy DeGruy,
she
wrote this book, Post Traumatic Slave Syndrome. And the spirit of her book is to free the victim as well as the victimizer, you know.
Right.
And you do that with the truth, you know. Some of it's ugly, but some of it's miraculous, you know. And I mean, for us to be having this conversation after all of the attempts to keep our minds oppressed, keep the lights turned out in our intellect, you know. Someone sent me something, the debates that took place in Virginia after Nat Turner uprising in December of 1831. Well, January of 1832, the Virginia legislature began debates dealing with the idea of abolishing slavery, you know, and there's one gentleman, Henry Berry, I think his name is. I first heard about him in reading A Message to the Black Man by Elijah Muhammad. But if you pull up his debate, he talks about how every move to keep the lights out in the black man and woman's mind had been attempted. But in spite of that, But in spite of all the attempts to keep the lights out, we kept coming to the light. And
yes,
he was saying, even if you have slaves watching you go around day to day in freedom, that's going to touch their souls in some manner, you know, and they're going to want what you got.
Right.
So he talked about really abolishing, but his thing was to send us all back to Africa.
I love Africa but yeah. But you know, even though, you know, I mean, it's still a good idea, but even if it's just in our mind, though, Michael, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we stayed in Africa in our mind, that would put us in a whole different consciousness, a higher state, I think, of consciousness.
That's coming.
That's coming back. Yeah.
It's coming back. I listened to Karen Hunter and Dr. Greg Carr and others talk about that. Neely Fuller, you know, the different voices that are coming out over these independent airwaves. That we don't have to necessarily go back to Africa, but the consciousness that Marcus Garvey talked about, you know, the consciousness of being African people, you know, people of Africa. But there's a more critical issue that I see, because we've really been affected, all of us, particularly African American people. We've been affected by these false constructs, these artificial constructs of race and color consciousness, color superiority. But if we can get back, if more of us can talk about our common humanity that the Creator gave us, we cry, we laugh in the same language, regardless of whether we're Chinese, or English or, you know, Scandinavian, we all cry in a common language. And that common language of tears and laughter speaks to our common humanity. And if we can just keep pressing that against these false ideas of race, you can Google race. You can Google white people and see the early origin going back to the late 1600s when white was established because Europeans were not united, but you had more Africans being produced. You had more slaves being produced. And so to unify them and increase their numbers and solidarity, they came up with this idea of white people. And you can see the connection of that language, you know, during that time in 1600s, and this chattel slavery idea, which is a slavery that had never, the Africans that sold us into slavery had no idea that kind of slavery existed, where you empty a people out and disconnect them totally from their past.
For sure.
So humanity, I think the commonality of our common humanity will really be the force to help us have a healthier world.
Oh, I agree, because as long as we stay separated and fighting one against another, nobody is strong. You know, we're all weakened by that. But when we come together in harmony, and like Eve was saying, you know, and honoring each other and respecting each other, then everybody's a winner. You know, everybody's a winner.
I agree. And look at the contributions, the mutual contributions that we have, if we can get rid of this language that's keeping us divided, progress that we can. You know, we lost a lot, speaking about America, we lost a lot when we disrespected and devalued the African-American people here in America, you know, the contributions that could have put us further on top. But we're rejected because of our color.
Right. I agree. Well, I appreciate you so much for bringing that wisdom. No, thank you. I truly appreciate all your comments, and you're welcome to stay on. We've got about 20 minutes or so left in the program. And so anyone everyone is invited to participate and or share your feelings. It's open mic night, so to speak. And our call-in number is 516-531-9819. And just hit 1 on your dial, even if you would like to come back on and make another statement. That is perfectly okay, too. But, you know, we've had some really incredible statements from our audience tonight to really wake us up in thinking a different thought, maybe a new thought, but for sure a different thought as to how we go about living this life of ours here in this. It's not normal right now, but in this new state that we're in. We do have one more caller. Let me open up the line here.
Thank you. I'm going to raise my voice a bit and say, it's a new day.
Yeah, it is. All right, caller 770-987. Give us your name and tell us what's on your mind. We don't hear you yet. Hello? Oh, they dropped off. Okay, so maybe they have phone problems. But we'll let them come back. I'm sure they'll call back in. But, you know, it's so much of a welcome change when we can let our voices be heard in truth and in communion one with another, in understanding where this all comes from, you know, from like the first caller that was telling us about the HAARP and, you know, know, how what's happening is by design and it's all planned, and there's a lot of evidence to support that and to support that been in the making for a long time. Eve came on and talked to us about honoring and respecting one another in all religions, and I agree with that. And then Brother Michael came on and has been talking to us about, you know, the experiment of African-Americans or those that were taken from the motherland and brought across the oceans to different lands, and classical scripture and some other terms that may be new to some of us, you know, the logic of creation and the patterns and, you know, looking at nature and how that, excuse me, I was adding a caller on 404-295. You want to give us your name and tell us what's on your mind?
Hi, Sandy. It's me, Harriet Harris.
Hey, Harriet. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I'm enjoying this show tonight with people just calling in and sharing information. It's really very enlightening. I wanted to add something about the education we've received as Africans in this country.
Okay.
I heard a lecture by Dr. Asa Hilliard some years ago. And he talked about the way sheepdogs are trained. I don't know if you've ever heard this or not.
I haven't.
They select sheepdogs, something like a collie or more docile breed of dog. And what they do is when the dog is born, they take him away from his mother, and they put him in with a litter of new sheep. So that when the collie is, as it grows, it's right in there with the sheep and it's nursing from the sheep mother. And so it grows up thinking that it's a sheep.
Oh.
And so even though, you know, as it gets older, because it's never looked into the mirror, you know, to see that it's a dog.
Right, right, right.
But it's going to be bigger than the sheep. You know, it's going to be more... larger and able to protect the sheep because it sees the sheep as his sibling.
Mhm. Mhm.
So he said that's one of the things that has impacted us so much is the education that we receive, like the brother mentioned earlier, having our culture, our traditions, our, you know, all the things that we participated in as Africans, having all of that, those things stripped away and having introduced another way of life in support of the slave master and, you know, being made to think that we belonged with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the educational system here has always been geared toward making sure that we don't rise above being in a more subservient role.
Exactly.
When I was in school, you know, I'm pretty old. I was born in 1952, and we would always get hand-me-down books. I don't know if this was something that you experienced or not, but we'd always get the books that had already been used by the white kids. We never got any new school books. And we'd have to go through them because I remember being one of the students that they would let work in the library and sort through the books when they would come in. And they would be, like I said, all used books. We sought through them and get the ones out that were decent enough to pass out to the students. Some of them had been written in and pages torn out and marked up so bad we couldn't use them at all.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But all of them were already used, OK? Okay. Huh. This was DeKalb County right here in Georgia.
In Georgia.
Uh-huh. All of the
I was
never
thinking
got
you
any,
were talking
never,
about like Arkansas or you know
no,
oh wow.
No.
Okay.
Decatur, Georgia. My all black elementary school in the 1950s. But
wow.
when we would get those old used books, you know, it does something to you psychologically. When you,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
you're looking forward, you're a young kid, you're looking forward to going to school, you got your, you know, maybe your new clothes or nice clothes and your book bag and all of that stuff. And then when you come to school and you're handed an old book that's already been written in, like I said, sometimes the page is torn out. If there was any kind of quiz in the book, it had already been answered. And so it does something to you psychologically
mm-hmm.
when you see that you don't even deserve to have a new school book.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things I've learned, too, about the way we were educated is when teachers, because a friend of mine whose mom was a teacher told me about this, when teachers applied for jobs in the all-black schools, they would, when they looked through the applications, they would hire the least qualified teacher.
Wow.
If the teacher was, had a master's degree or, you know, some type of advanced education, those teachers were not hired. The teachers that had the least amount of education were hired to teach kids. So all of this has been a part of a well-orchestrated plan, really,
yeah.
to make
yeah.
sure you're coming into school, you don't deserve a new book, when we finally integrated school when I was in the eighth grade, what we realized was that the books that we were actually getting, we were a year behind the students when we went to the integrated school. The books that
wow.
they had used the year before, because they were used books. So we were actually like a full grade behind those students in the way we were being educated versus them, you know, being ahead of us. Being educated. But like I said, train like Dr. Healy talks about, like sheepdogs.
Yeah.
To think, you know, this is where we belong. This is who we should defend. This is who we should pattern ourselves after. You know, this whole light skin, dark skin thing, too, was, you know, another plot to make sure we remain divided.
Anything and everything.
Right. And so once those plans were put in action, like I said the psychological effects of, you know, just eroding your self confidence, eroding your feelings of worth. Those things once years and years of having those things eroded, you just fall into a pattern of automatically thinking that you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, was it Carter G. Woodson that said, when you control a person's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions.
Exactly.
You don't have to tell him to go to the back door. You'll go without being told.
That's right, automatically. You know?
Yeah, there is no back door. He will cut one for his own special use.
Yeah.
His education makes it necessary. Because, see, the Daughters of the Confederacy, I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they actually took control of what was placed in the school books. Now, this is way after the Civil War. Now, this
mm-hmm.
is the early 1900s when these women calling themselves the Daughters of the Confederacy decided to make sure that the books didn't contain anything about black history or slavery or, you know, anything in that would give black people any idea of their history in this country. They
wow.
made sure those things were not included in the school book.
Wow.
And they're also the ones who got all those statues put up all those Confederate statues, you know, that were built all across the country. See, those things are not built after the Civil War. That Confederate flag, had been put away too. All that stuff had been put away after the Civil War. But it was in the early 1900s where suddenly the Daughters of the Confederacy decided, okay, this is how we're going to educate these folks. We're going to build all these statues of the Confederate monuments all throughout the country, people can see. This is who we, you know, these are the folks we honor. We're going to drag this Confederate flag back out. Because do you know, when I was in the eighth grade, integrated at Lakeside High School, they used to play the song Dixie. And fly the Confederate flag at our pep rallies. This was in 1965.
Wow.
In Decatur. They were still flying that Confederate flag in the schools at the school's pep rally before the games on Friday. They bring that flag out. They would play that song Dixie, and all the kids would stand up and cheer and just be. I mean, they'd just go wild when they hear them playing Dixie. And we were all just kind of look at each other and hold our heads down and, you know, be embarrassed.
But that was at the segregated school, though, right? It wasn't at the black school,
right.
too.
Right.
I just wanted to get it clear.
That was at the integrated school. That was Lakeside High School. 1965, 1966. By the time I graduated, I graduated from Decatur High, but by the time I left Lakeside in like 1967, they had stopped doing that. But, yeah, when I was in the eighth and ninth grade.
That's a long time, though.
I wish I was a man and a cotton.
Wow. Not even
so
a
man. It's not been that many years ago. That's what people don't realize.
Exactly.
It's not been that many years ago that things have started to change. I mean, that they've actually phased. You know, things like Dixie and the Confederate flag and out of the schools and, you know, those things are, you know, just in the last 40, 50 years.
That's
not been that long ago.
Right.
And so, you know, our parents and grandparents, you know, live with that. And a lot of them refuse really to even talk about what happened in the past. And see, that's one of the mistakes really that we have made is not sharing what our history was like.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things that we accomplished despite all the obstacles put in front of us, the things that we accomplished despite that and the thing, you know, the way our ancestors fought and rallied around, you know, doing what they needed to do to try to, you know, bring some unity and community to us. We didn't get a lot of that a lot of times because people were ashamed to talk about what had happened in the past, or they just didn't want to remember, and they wanted their children to have something different and have something better. So they didn't want to burden them with, you know, how bad things had been.
Truth. Yeah,
but that really hasn't served our interest to not have known all that stuff, you know.
Exactly, because I had no idea until you just shared that with me, you know. And so that's why I'm always encouraging people, write it down, you know, like write your story, whatever it is that you have, make it be a part of the history of this world, of this nation, you know, so that. When our great-great-grandchildren go to start searching literature and history and all of like that, there'll be a nice balance of books written by people of color and of other persuasions, you know, so that, you know, the truth will be in the books, you know.
Yeah.
I just think that's really important. So, Harry, what... So I recently heard, and I be honest, I've not done a lot of digging into it or research, but I heard that Mount Rushmore was initially a statue for Indians, for our Native Americans. And
right.
at whatever point in time they went in then and changed that to be what it is now with those presidents. What do you know about that?
Well, it was actually a sacred burial ground for some of the Indian nations.
Oh, okay.
There. Okay. And they did. They just took it, you know. They just took it once they ran the Indians off that land and killed a bunch of folks, you know. They just took it over and carved those presidents up there. And you know who trying to still get his picture put up there today, you know.
Girl, you gonna make me sit over here and just I believe it
right.
too, man. I believe it.
You get his picture put on there.
Oh, too funny.
But no, that was sacred burial ground for some of the Indian nations there.
Yeah.
So it wasn't supposed to be, nothing was supposed to be added to it really, because that belonged to them. That was here before the other folks came.
Exactly.
Long before the colonizers, I'll put it that way. Long
right,
before
right.
they decided to come and interfere.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, it is just real interesting to me, you know, when we look back and particularly because I just learned about the Trail of Tears like maybe 10, 12 years ago, you know, and that started here in Georgia. And they said the reason why our soil is so red is that it represents the blood from all the Native Americans that were here and got slaughtered, you know, as the Europeans forced them off of their land into Oklahoma, maybe it was, or something. I know to a different state, because they found valuable gems in the ground here in Georgia, and you know they thought it was to their advantage, you know, to have the wealth and stuff, and and so many people died with the different plagues and you know, just being murdered in the whole nine yards, you know. So
right,
yeah.
See, they would have us believe that this land was uninhabited.
Exactly,
or that the Native Americans or that the Native Americans just lived out west, you know, maybe in the hills, Nevada and those coastal states like that. They lived all over this country.
Yeah,
they lived in every state, every state.
Yeah.
So they did. They had to kill off a lot of folks, and like you said, with diseases and just outright slaughtering, they continue to push people off the land, murder, pillage, and just take. Really.
And you know, as we are saying that, just think about the words we're using with killing people with plagues and murdering them. Y'all take it. We ain't gonna say nothing more than that. So you do whatever you need to do with that in your head.
Don't get me talk about this current one. But the way this thing was handled, now you have to say you have to admit it was all part of an orchestrated plan. You know the way it was handled.
That's what the first caller told us. Yep.
It's all
by design.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. There are no happenstance. You know, no coincidences. Unexpected circumstance. Nobody knew anything about. There is no such thing.
Exactly.
In this country, particularly, everything.
I agree.
Because I talked about before how so many studies have been done to show, you know, the effects of, you know, like what's the effect of racism on the person's health.
Mm-hmm.
25-year study they did on, you know, how racism affects health. They even gave certain people in the community funds to leave the community to see if their health would improve if they moved to a better area, they moved to a more affluent area, if their health would improve, and found out that it did improve once they were able to not live in food deserts and, you know, have better education. And, you know, they know what things are needed. They absolutely know what things are needed.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
It's all part of, like I said, an orchestrated plan, the, you know,
pipeline.
Yeah,
they're doing the studies, man. They, you know, that's the same way with how they're, and I'm sorry for cutting you off, but that's the same way how they're controlling the food, you know. And they know because they're putting people in these MRI machines, and it's something similar to that, you know. But they're actually doing studies on the brain waves to see how these different chemicals, and they call them excitotoxins. So, like, you know, when you eat the Lay's potato chips and they made the commercial said, bet you can't eat just one. They knew before they even put it on the market that that stuff is going to have you with a, what you call it, an addiction. You know, like, give me more.
Yes.
And we don't I was telling somebody earlier today, you know, like, especially with these different colorings in the cereal for our children, that they already know that certain colors trigger autism and ADHD, and it's still allowed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That just really baffles the hell out of me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's the reason why,
what were we looking at on Facebook not long ago, how the places like Kellogg has taken over Kosh.
Yeah.
Meals has taken over Cascadian Farms. And, you know, the more that what was a more less genetically modified food sources are being now bought out by these places that just add some sugar to some flour, add some white flour, add some sugar to it, and roll it out.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm gonna be eating more of what's coming out the ground. I thought I was, you know, pretty much raw food, but I'm gonna be even better. But look, we're down to like 60 seconds left on the show.
Okay.
This has been so tremendous to me. You guys make me want to do this open mic like once a month, you know, so that people can just come on. Yeah. All right, so I got all the shows for October, though, already done. So perhaps we can start it in November and maybe the first Tuesday of the month every month would be open mic, and it just be, you know, whatever we decide we're going to talk about, or just let it roll however it rolls.
Sounds good.
I appreciate everybody from my first caller to Eve, Brother Michael, Harriet, and you guys. This has really, really made my day, and I so appreciate your honesty and openness and sharing your ideas, and that's what's going to make us strong. I love and appreciate all of you guys. So the lady is counting it down. She said 10 seconds, so we're out of here. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for being with us tonight.
All right.
Good night.